We serve a risen Savior. Amen. Leonard Ravenhill said, a river never rises higher than its source. Our source is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I brung part one of a message out of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah is a portrait of Christ, a type of Christ, amongst many in the Old Testament. I also brought out some of the other types. It's Genesis chapter 1. The dry land came out of the depths of the water and vegetation, which is pointing to resurrection. I also went to Genesis chapter 8, when it spoke of the ark resting on Mount Ararat, that the Holy Spirit of God utilized and saw the importance of putting the exact date, the 17th day of the 7th month, after being engulfed in the flood of death, which is a clear picture of the Passover. All the way back in Genesis, the Holy Spirit of God is laying the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I used Abraham in the sacrifice of his son Isaac, that for 3 days of agony, walking towards the mountain that the Lord was showing him in a revelatory way, he didn't just tell him to go to any mountain. He said, go to the mountain that I will show you. And he revealed it to him on the third day. So for 3 days, he's walking with the most precious thing in the world to him other than his relationship with God. 3 days of agony in his heart and in his mind, knowing that in just a short period of time, he's going to have to sacrifice his own son. But on the third day, the Lord Jesus relieved him of that agony. As he lifted the knife, he said, harm not the lad. And then he heard a ram in the thicket. Could you imagine anything more blessed to the ears and to the eyes of Abraham to see now the replacement, the substitutionary sacrifice that he now knows he's not going to have to kill his only begotten son? God provided. We know that the name Jonah means dove, which of its very own means the name dove is meek and mournful. In Leviticus, the Lord said, for those who could not afford the bulls and the heifers, that they could bring turtle doves. Did that not actually portray the preaching of the gospel when Christ said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted. I've come to set the captives free. I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. The mother of the creator of heaven and earth, the mother of Jesus Christ himself gave two turtle doves. A sign of meekness and lowliness. We know that the dove in Genesis 8:8 was released from the ark and returned with an olive branch in its beak, which is a symbolic figure of bringing the good news of salvation to the world. We also spoke about Jonah as the word of the Lord came to him. We also know from the very beginning, Amittai means truth. Jonah was the son of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All of these shadows and all of these portraits that Christ has implanted into the gospel through the Holy Spirit of God that has been placed there for you and for me and for our growth. In Matthew 12:40, he used him as an example. Think back through the Old Testament, all the examples he could have used, yet he chose Jonah. We know that he arose and he went the opposite way from the way that God had told him to go. Sin was taking its course. It was taking him down. Hey, let me share something with you. In chapter 4, Jonah was an angry individual. He was angry at God. He said, Lord, I knew from my country, when I know that you were going to send me to cry out the gospel, I knew what you were going to do. I knew that you was going to have mercy on them. And I'm telling you, this has made me exceedingly angry. Why is it that we find that Jonah starts as the word of the Lord came to him and said, go cry out to Nineveh, the message that I have given you, but he went the opposite direction. He went down. He went down into the ship. He went down into the belly of the ship. And then we find that he went down into the ocean or the sea. And then we see that he went down into the fish. And then he went down into Sheol. As you read the prophet Jonah, you will see that he is an angry individual. Folks, let me tell you what sin will do. It will separate you from the joy of your salvation. We know that sin is a narcotic, a spiritual anesthetic which beclouds reason, stifles conviction, and twists character, perverts our will. Example, Jonah 1:5, sin is a paralyzing force. And that is what I was talking about earlier in the message this morning, is we need to be careful and keep our eyes focused on what truly is important and truly is eternal, because before you know it, you can find yourself in the belly of a whale motel because you have allowed the things of this world, because you have neglected the Word of God, you have neglected your prayer life, and you have neglected your testimony. If Jesus Christ quit ministering every time somebody did something wrong to him, we wouldn't have the first book of the Bible. Let the anger of Jonah be a lesson to you as you walk through your Christian life. I share with you today, Jonah will tell you three things: who you are, where you are, and where you are heading. Well, the church just don't show me any appreciation. I just think I'm going to quit preaching. Nobody notices the things that I do. Lord, I'm telling you, I've been wrong, and I'm going to do what I got to do to make it right. Let me tell you, it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen. It's about His church. It's easy to climb into the belly of the fish. He neglected the word of God. Go to Nineveh. Down in Jonah, then they said, come, let's see what's going on here. They knew that something supernatural was coming. Then they said to him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us. And then they give him an examination. But here's the man of God in the belly sleeping with the answer. He knows when he is awakened, he can tell that the storm that he's in is something that he has brought upon these men because of his sin. And like I told you this morning, a man can sin alone, but he cannot suffer alone. I could do something and it can bring reproach upon this whole church. One sin. Oh, that's my business. No, it's not. I am your business. You are my business. We are accountable to each other and we are accountable to Christ. Arise, old sleeper. Sleep on the job. We know. Then he gives them a testimony. He said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. Boy, I tell you what now. Brother Jonah, your testimony doesn't line up with your life. I love the Lord, but I ain't been to church half the time. I ain't going back to that place. They've made me aggravated. They've aggravated me. They made me mad. We know that he neglected his testimony. We know that first me must feed upon the word of God. We have three inviolable rules that we must follow, or otherwise we will end up like Jonah, an angry Christian, fruitless, powerless, agitated, illuminated by Satan and all the things of this world, now becomes able to grip us and manipulate us and determine which direction that we're going to be walking in. I got three words to tell you. Let it go. Second, we must live a life of prayer. And third, we must witness for Christ. Neglect one of these, and you will be a Jonah. We talked about as Jonah. As a result of your witness for Christ, become silent. As a result, the next thing, you're in a vulnerable condition. Sin creeps in. Habits take their grip upon you. You're miserable, defeated, and fruitless. And then one day you raise your head up and you see that you're far, far away from God. You're aggravated, you're angry, you're agitated. It's not about everyone, it's about everyone else and not about you. You've done nothing wrong. Let me tell you something here, folks. The gospel according to Jonah. You got four things that's going to affect you. You're going to give God a willful submission. Or you're going to get a painful constraint. You're going to have plenty of excuses why you've not done what you know you're supposed to do, not why you're not where you're supposed to be, and not in the office that God has given you to fulfill. You will have plenty of excuses, but you will not have one good reason. Where we stopped at today, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told him. In verse 11, then they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea was wrought and was tempestuous. Here are these men. They know that they're in a supernatural situation. They know that what is happening to them is beyond their control. There's nothing that they can do. They've casted their lots, and the lots have fell upon Jonah. And they know that Jonah is the man who had the plan, and he has failed. And what he has done has brought sin upon them. I told you in verse 8, they said, for whose cause this evil has come upon us? Jonah's a portrait of Christ. The cause of Jonah being where he was at was sin. The cause of Christ being on the cross is sin. That is the cause. Point number two, I'm going to look for you and say the word character. Then they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea was wrought and tempestuous. The sea was breaking the ship literally in half. They knew that they were going to perish. They knew that there was no hope. But their hope was that something could be done to this man that would change the situation. I know another man that something was done to that changed the situation. Amen. Let me tell you something. We're all exactly like Jonah. We're in a ship and we're heading for death and destruction. We're getting ready to run into the jagged rocks of the wrath of God if we do not repent and turn back to Him. But thank God, as my brother said today in Sunday school, he said, he came to himself, and he came back home where he belonged. Amen. Let me tell you how long it takes to get back home. It takes 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and Christ has already done it for you and for me. That's why we can be walking one way, and all of a sudden God strikes us with conviction, and we can stop where we're at and turn back to Him. And listen to what this man says. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Why did not Jonah just run and jump overboard? He knew the only cure for the cause of the calming of the storm was going to be him as a sacrifice. Why didn't he just run and jump overboard on his own? He's volunteering right here. He's saying, take me up and cast me into the sea. Why didn't Christ just put himself up on the cross? Amen. The lesson to be learned there was not just for Jonah, it was for the men. They had to identify that they were going to take the innocent blood of a man and they were going to throw him into his death. Character. Jonah sacrificed that all the men on board the ship could live. Christ sacrificed so that all the world, all the elect, could come and be with him for all of eternity. There's another word that we're looking for, vicarious. The word means endured or undergone by one person acting for another, acting in place of someone else. Felt or experienced as if one were participating in the feelings or experiences of another. They've asked a question and he has given them the answer. Doctor, I'm sick and I need help. What do I do? He says, here, you take this right here. Here is the cure. Nevertheless, in verse 13, nevertheless, what a word. That's a big word in salvation. Nevertheless. Let me give you a Don Browning rendition of that. In spite of. The men have been and are in a situation that is beyond their control, and they know that they are going to die, and the man of God has given them the answer, the antidote of what they need to do in order to be saved and live, and they said, nevertheless, in spite of the man of God giving them the gospel, listen to what they do. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. For the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them that are perishing, but to us where it is the power of God and the salvation. Scott Watkins, I want you to teach Sunday school. And he says, nevertheless, I'm going the opposite direction. Don Browning, I want you to preach the gospel, but I tell God, nevertheless, I'm going to the opposite direction. In spite of a clear and present danger, we still refuse to obey the Master. And they rode hard, but they got absolutely nowhere. We see it in Jonah 1:5 when then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares and were in the ship and the sea to lighten it. They try to lighten the vessel. Hey, it's breaking apart. See what you can do about it. Hey, man has been fed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's dying and getting ready to go to hell. And he still wants to lighten the vessel. Amen. I'm going to stop sinning. I'm going to stop lying. I'm going to stop cheating. I'm going to stop drinking. Know what you need to do is stop your stopping. Man always wants to try to live by the law. They want to lighten the load. They want to row hard the opposite direction of God's called them to do. And then they find themselves like Jonah, fruitless, miserable, angry. I mean, everybody here knows somebody that every time you meet them, they're aggravated and aggravated and mad at somebody. I'm going to kill the world. I mean, I know some people, like, I walk the opposite direction, man. Don't ever ask them how they are, because you're going to get the answer, amen? About 15 minutes later, you're like, oh my gosh, get me out of here. Man never comes to God until he exhausts all of his own efforts and devices. It is then he finds himself totally lost. As we see in the scripture, before they submitted with God's plan to throw Jonah overboard, they tried to save themselves in Jonah chapter 1, 5, and 12. We find the word, nevertheless. What a big word, in spite of. They try to save themselves. This is what Israel, this is why Israel was placed under the law of works, for the law was not designed to save man, to prove that he could not save himself. God knew when he gave them that law that they couldn't fulfill it. But here's poor, blind Israel in Exodus 19:8. And what did they say? All that the Lord has commanded, we will do. Oh, the law, it was good, but the sinners could not keep it. It was a holy law, but unholy sinners was not able to live up to it. It was a perfect law, but the imperfect man fell far short of its demands. It was a just law, and therefore demanded the punishment of its transgressors. Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. You know what hits me between the eyes when he said all of our righteousness? He didn't say all the lies that I tell. He didn't say all the money that I stole. He didn't say all the times that I've been mean to a brother or sister. He said all of my righteousness are as filthy rags. Years Israel tried to keep the law and be saved, not realizing that the law could condemn the sinner, but it could not save him. It could demand obedience, but could not produce it. It could tell a man how to live, but it was powerless to help him. It could threaten the sinner with death, but it could not save him from death. Folks, why is it that we will run to everything, but we will not run to the one who can make the difference? Now listen to me here close. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. O Lord, hast done as it has pleased. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased her raging. They come to the end of themselves, as we was talking about in Sunday school. They realized that the situation they found themselves in was a supernatural situation that required a supernatural answer. And they became obedient to the man of God with the word of God. And as soon as they cast him into the sea suddenly became calm. Now the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Here's these men that were pagans, heathens, in a wrong direction, headed for death. Here's the man of God that finally gives them the answer to the situation that they find themselves in. And now they have had an experience with the one true God, and they know that he is worthy of a sacrifice. He is worthy of a vow. He is worthy of a commitment. I beseech you, therefore, in Romans 12, to offer yourself a sacrifice. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. There's three things that need to be involved in a man's life when he finally cries out to God. A clear and present danger in hope of a powerful deliverance. And the last thing is the need for a personal declaration. These men have made a vow to God, and they have made a vow and they have declared that you are the one true God. Now, some people think it was a whale, but in the Greek, the word kados just means fish. And that is what I was talking about earlier, the scientific Christian brothers try to figure out a fish that was able to swallow Jonah. They want to know that there was a fish that had a mouth that was able to consume him. They want to know that there was a fish that had a throat that was able to digest him. They want to know there was a fish that had an abdomen that could sustain him. You know what a fish story is? Man, I hear guys talking about fish stories all the time. Here's a fish story, amen. Nobody thinks nothing about when a man says, boy, I caught a big fish the other day, Brother Miller, he's that big. Hey, here's a situation where the fish caught the man, amen. That fish was specially prepared by God. Just as Jesus said, here's the portrait. Listen to me now. When he gave them the antidote, he said, cast me forth into the sea. And that very verse is when Jonah became the portrait of Christ. Take me and cast me over, and the sea will be calm unto you. Now the portrait of Christ continues. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be. Sheol is the place for departed spirits. Christ's body was in the tomb. He went down into the heart of the earth. Jonah, his body was in the fish, sustained, but dead. 3 days later, the fish spit him out. He wasn't mauled, he wasn't ripped, he wasn't torn. And he was ready to go preach the gospel. Amen. Usually, if something's in the belly of something for 3 days, there's nothing left. Here's the chronology. And I wish I had time to get into it, but I don't. But I will at another time. Christ said, have you ever heard the term idiomatic statement? If Christ would have said, 3 days, I'll be in the heart of the earth, then that could have been any uptime of 3 days. But he did not say that. He said, 3 days and three nights. You can find that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. You can also find that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. What is a day? It's an evening period and a light period. The Jewish day did not start at midnight like ours. It started at sundown. Now, I'm not a school teacher, but Brother Danny is. But I can do some arithmetic. Take your Good Friday and do the arithmetic. It don't add up to Scripture. How do you come up with 3 days and three nights if he was crucified on Friday? Forget about Catholicism. Forget about Lent. Forget about holy days. Forget about pagan rituals and ceremonies. And focus on a personal Christ, a personal cross, and a personal salvation. Amen. It's grace alone, in faith alone, in Christ alone. Read Jonah. It's a short read. But what I want you to pay attention to Jonah. Why was he such an angry Christian? You cannot live your life against the will of God and be a happy Christian. Jonah allowed his pride of who he was as a Jew. Jonah allowed his position to rob him of his relationship with Christ. He is angry all through the book of Jonah. Father, we thank you for